sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Okay. Here we go.
Yep. A blaster, now blaster, I'm blaster. My new favorite thing.
Back at the skick at the back at the skick at the back at the. One, two, three, four.
Oh, yeah.
We are in. What is up, everyone? Welcome into episode 154 of Drum with Mike and Eddie, a drumming podcast where we discuss mainly our headspace and mainly the things that we all go through as creatives and as artists. And it is not an easy task whatsoever. But today is going to be a very easy task because all Eddie and I have to do is shop.
Is shop, mate. Here we go. And what we are shopping for is some, are we doing the full thing or are we doing just the kit? What are we doing here?
We're doing kit.
Okay.
Finish. Yeah, you got to tell me the finish. So you got to tell me the shells. And we are buying a snare as well.
Oh, beautiful.
One main snare.
Okay.
By the way, before we get into all of that, I want to talk about some other gear. I haven't bought gear in a while, just because I'm very spoiled. I'm totally aware of that. But when it comes to little things, like you and I have a drum set endorsement, mm-hmm. Which usually covers snares as well. We both have a cymbal endorsement, drum heads, and sticks. And then, then there's odds and ends. I don't have any odds and ends endorsements. I have microphones and in-ears, very fortunate. But little things, no. Still got to go down to the music store for that one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not a big fan of my local music stores other than Skips Music. I love myself some Skips, but it's a bit of a drive. So I jumped on Sweetwater.com. Here's the thing, man. You're in a big band. As the Spanish would say, my band is un poquito, very small little band. Simon Says, not playing arenas. We don't have techs. We don't have a monitor guy. So all of a sudden it hit me. Wait, how am I going to hear? I don't have a remote pack for my in-ears. I have in-ears, but I don't have a remote pack to get the front of house or the monitor mix.
Yeah.
So I went on the old Sweetwater.com and I found this little clip-on thing. It's tiny. It clips onto your belt and XLR from the monitor goes into here in the bottom, and then you just have volume.
That's
right
it.
There, on and off.
Is that Behringer?
It's all you need. Behringer, exactly.
I've seen that before. That's great.
It's called a Behringer P2, and I'm very excited about this because I know the show we have coming up in March.
Yeah.
I've never been to this club. It's called Goldfield, I believe. Goldfield Trading Post. But I've played all the clubs. There's no way that Bobby Monitor is going to know what the hell he's doing.
Oh,
and so I need to make this as simple as possible. And I need, for any of you that haven't gigged, but you do own in-ears, you must have a volume control on those in-ears because front of house or monitor guy will blow your ears out if you can't control volume.
Been there, done that. Been there and done that. I was going to say,
all right, let's check your ears, sir. Well, okay, I'm good.
I remember the first time I ever played with in-ears and it was to a click track through like iTunes and it was the most dodgy, like poor thing ever. It was so bad, right?
Yes.
And I can't remember the technical thing, but basically it was, you should never plug like an XLR straight into something. Anyway, of course we did. My ears like blew out. It was just like the most horrendous feedback. I had to like keep on playing whilst take the ears out my ears and then tell the tech to like kill the track. It was so bad. But mate, I was going to say actually a question popped into my head then. How are you going to, so you know, for drum clinics and stuff, sometimes I've done it where you practice in context. So like with most drum clinics, you don't really get much of a good sound. You might be on a drum shop floor and whatnot. How are you practicing for the actual show itself? Have you started that yet or?
Yeah, we have. So one, we're going to be playing to a click. First time ever for Simon Says.
Nice.
I will be controlling the click so that as we veer, I can be like, all right, we'll do the next one with a click. And then as we veer, the most important thing is just starting in time, right?
Yeah.
The tough thing with a click that a lot of people that haven't done it live don't realize, because they always just think like, well, you should just play with a click. Well, if only the drummer is on the click, if the drummer is the only one on the click, mm-hmm. the band doesn't hear it. Well, there's a lot of times in all songs where the drummer drops out. The click keeps going. No one else hears it. So you have to give your band some reference of time. And it's not cool in like a beautiful bridge where it's a breakdown to go. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to give you 2 and 4 with the left foot. I got to somehow mark the time. So we're figuring that stuff out right now. But right now, I'm listening to my full drum mix that I normally have here at the studio. Plus, I've got a line out of my guitarist's pedal board. So he's got like a line 6 pedal board.
Sick.
So I'm taking a line out. I'm hearing exactly what he's playing.
Yeah. Cool.
And then honestly, it's so loud in the room. My overheads are picking up plenty of vocals and bass.
Yeah.
So it sounds good. I really enjoy it. And I've got the Verb on my little board cranked to 10 for the drums.
Oh, all day.
It's an arena in here.
All day. Anything else for you?
Every once in a while,
if you could just crank the reverb and make it sound like I'm playing like Wembley, that would be great.
Compression 10, Verb 10. Then on that, I need you to sample more Verb and a bit more compression. Thank you so much. We're going to go with a V tone on the EQ. Give me all the highs. Give me all the lows. Let's scoop those mids. Thanks, Bobby.
Yeah. Did you make my kick drum sound like I've got a penny in front of it? That would be amazing.
Exactly. With also a steel beater. Yeah. Yep. Or bronze, if that's all you have. I'm fine with that. Also, dude. The last week, I think you and I have practiced more than we've ever practiced in our lives without something stressful coming up.
Oh my God, yeah, mate. I'm glad we got onto this because, I'm loving it. I'm loving the old practice project that we've started doing. And I'm after this podcast, my plan of action is to practice for like half an hour and then upload it to the Patreon page and then do some other bits and bobs. But it's so interesting, mate. Like, it's working. We were talking about it on voice notes as usual. How it works. Like, we were forced on the weekend, we both came into the studio to specifically practice and film it and upload it to the Patreon page and talk about why we're doing things and what we're doing. And then also everyone else in the Patreon page did, but it's working, mate. That accountability is so, so important. And I'm loving it, mate. I'm practicing more than ever.
Same. It's been really fun. Like, and I'm noticing that practicing is so analogous to fitness. Like, when you see results, then you don't think like, well, I got better, so I don't need to practice. I don't need to work out.
Yeah.
Instead, it's the opposite. Like, oh, I got better. I want more. I want more. I want more. And it's just been so addictive. I hate to say this, but I don't know if I've practiced honestly it could be like honestly about a decade without an event to practice for.
Yeah.
I'm always practicing for a camp, a drum festival, some clinics, but I'm practicing very specific things to make that 45 minutes as perfect as possible, but nothing else. Now I'm practicing drums for the sole reason to improve on the instrument. And then as I'm doing it, a notification goes off from Patreon saying like, Jim Hendigus just put in 45 minutes on single strokes. And I'm like, I could practice longer, you know? So the accountability and the motivation, guys, Eddie and I mean this from the bottom of our hearts. Not only will you be supporting this podcast by signing up for this on the Patreon page, it's called the Practice Project Squad. So it's the $10 a month tier. You'll be supporting the podcast, but I promise you will get so much motivation out of it just to improve. We all have more than enough stuff to practice. The what is not the question. It's will you be motivated to sit down and do it and not just jam, but truly try to improve. It's happening for both Eddie and me. We're so excited that we're actually improving. We're voicing each other every day about how much better we're getting on the drums simply by having dedicated practice time.
Yeah, it's crazy, mate. And next week we should play some people's videos that they're going to email in and whatnot and just geek out on their practice. But yeah, it's the accountability, mate. It's the healthy accountability. It's not like, me and Mike are going to be like, right, every day you're going to practice for an hour, blah, blah, blah. And that's the only way to get better. Right. It's just like, cool, man. It's that extra 30 minutes or an hour of practice that's going to make you become the drummer that you always want to be. And it works, mate. This is the thing. It works. Do you know what I mean? If you practice, it is as simple as that. Like, you get better and I'm noticing it and feeling it, man. I'm feeling good.
Dude, I sent you that voice note right away going when I uploaded one of my Instagram videos. I was like, dude, I could not have played this clean a week ago. And tomorrow I'm uploading a how to tune your snare video. And the first playing example is like, well, what do you do if your snare is cranked? and really short sustained. And I play a super busy groove. Like, I hate when people say you'd get fired for doing that. You would get fired for doing this. This is a very dense groove, but it's played to a loop that kind of deserves that.
Yeah.
But I probably would have chickened out or talked myself out of playing that groove on YouTube 2 weeks ago because my drumming skills weren't there. And now I'm like, oh, cool. I would have been able to think of this 2 weeks ago. I just couldn't have pulled it off. And so, yeah, it is absolutely working. All right, enough sales talk. If you guys want to support the podcast and be part of the practice project, head on over to patreon.com/drumwithmikeandeddie. The link is in the description below. Let's get into this. Eddie and I are buying new kits. By the way, just like War of the Worlds, when that happened and everyone thought that aliens invaded, that was fake. That was just a hoax. This is a hoax. We are not buying new drum kits, but we're pretending that we are. We have unlimited budgets. We just won the lottery or the Euro Millions or whatever the hell it's called over there. And we have an unlimited budget to buy new kits. But here's the twist. Eddie has to do it on the Gretsch website. I have to do it on the Ludwig website. We both admitted today that we've seen neither of these websites. I don't think I've ever seen the Gretsch website, and I sure as hell haven't seen the Ludwig website.
Yeah, either of I, mate. I mean, it makes you wonder how I even am a drummer, to be honest with you. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what is.
You know what though? Like I don't know why I've never been to Zildjian's website or Tama's website. I think I look at gear on sites that have everything, like, and not even shopping websites. I guess reverb.com is where I would look for gear.
Yeah.
I like used gear.
And also it goes to show how, and I hate to use the word influencer, but how you are influenced by the videos and the players that you follow on Instagram. Yeah.
That's where I see new gear.
Yeah, literally. Exactly. Like if I see a stacker or I don't know, a new snare, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I don't discover that anywhere else apart from Instagram or YouTube, man. I mean, this is exciting, yeah, mate. There's a lot of kits to choose from. There's a lot of kits to choose from. So here we
and I'm assuming, like me, you don't know what any of those kits are besides the ones you've played here. And the only thing I know is what I've played of yours.
I'm basically going from left to right, assuming that's the best, that's the second best, that's the third best. So I'm going to try to just, you know, I don't want to just go for the most expensive one. So we'll see what happens here, mate. This is going to be interesting.
Well, luckily, I don't know what the Gretsch website's like, but luckily Ludwig doesn't have any prices. So I did take a look this morning because I don't know what any of this stuff is called. I'm like, all right, should I get the new Sonic or the Accent? I think there's a price difference because the Accent's at the bottom and the new Sonic's at the top. But all right, how about I dig in? Let's do kits first.
Yep.
You do a kit or I'll do the kit. Then you do the kit. Then we'll do snares.
Right. Okay, cool. All right. I'm on the Ludwig site ready to see what you're going to talk about.
First of all, sign up for our newsletter. Your pop-ups are unnecessary, Ludwig. Let's get rid of those. By the way, I am going to 100% critique the website as I'm going through this.
Have you accepted cookies? That is the biggest one.
Oh, dude, I decline the crap out of that stuff. All right, moving on. So as far as kits, we've got the new Sonic, and I'm only obviously going to talk about the high-end stuff because we have an unlimited budget. We've got the new Sonic, the Legacy Mahogany, Legacy Maple, Classic Maple, and Classic Oak. I would have chosen that. Oh, and then if we go down to the bottom, we have the Vista Lights. That should be at the top. We can talk about that later, Ludwig. So I would have gone Classic Maple because that's a nice 6-ply shell. I've always loved it, but I didn't know what the Legacy drums were. So Legacy Mahogany, Legacy Maple, that is similar to what I already play with Gretsch. Those are 3-ply shells and 30-degree bearing edges instead of the 45-degree bearing edges. So you've got the rounded bearing edges, 3-ply shell like they would have made in the late 20s up until the 50s and 60s when they went to a 6-ply shell. So I'm a fan of Legacy Maple. That's going to be my choice. Size-wise, let's get into sizes right away. I'm going 20x14 bass drum, 12x8 rack tom, 14x14 floor on legs, 16x16 floor on legs. That is my kit. So I've got 20, 12, 14, 16. The 16 is just going to swap out with the 14 if I need it. I think in Simon Says, I'm going to be playing at the shows. I'll be playing a 20x14, no rack tom, and then a 16-inch floor tom from a different kit because I don't have a matching one.
Got you.
So I'm going full Jelly Bean. So yeah, so I think that I want to have a 16 so that I can swap it out. My personal would be 2012-14 and a snare, but I want to be able to swap it out with a 16 if I need to. So
cheeky.
I've got the Legacy Maple, 2012-14-16. Now we go to finishes.
Here we go. This is what gets me excited, mate. Because there's a few cheeky finishes, Ludwig.
Yeah, the ones that caught me right away, I love their green sparkle.
Yep.
Looks great. And I really like Heritage Green. If I could have a 1976 Porsche 911 in Heritage Green with tan interior, I would. But when I see that kit, I got to say, it's just like, even though he plays so many kits, I still see that as the Carter color.
It
like
is, mate.
Carter McLean. He just, when I saw that, the first time I saw that finish, he was the one playing it and it just locked it in my brain.
Yeah.
I do love that finish though. Really dig charcoal shadow, like a black kit where you can see the grain of the wood. Big fan of that.
Oh yeah. That is nice. That is nice. What about the pink oyster? Is that a bit of you or is that a bit too out there?
Bruh, you're out of your mind. That looks like if a candy cane barfed on a vanilla ice cream cone.
What about the one next to it? Citrus Mod. And for the listeners, right, we have got some green, red, and yellow. It's not even tie-dye.
It's like the belly of a gecko. No way.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Not messing with that.
You're not a fan? You're not a fan? Okay.
No, not a fan. But here's a hard to explain one. The very first finish, classic olive pearl. Kind of dig it.
Yeah.
I don't see it at my studio or I'm not going to use it personally, but I kind of dig it. I think, do you have vintage black oyster?
Yes, that is what I've got.
Yeah, that's just,
the bad boy.
That is it. But because I already have a Gretsch kit off to my left in this finish and I know it looks fantastic on camera in my studio, I'm going vintage blue oyster. So,
ooh, okay. Yep. Got you.
Yep. It's almost gray, but it leans blue. So I'm going 2012-14-16 Heritage Maple, vintage blue oyster.
Okay.
And I will be a happy, happy boy.
Are you going to go for the big lugs or the small ones?
Oh, I didn't know they offered different lugs on the drums.
They do. Oh. They do. And well,
then small. I'm going to go low mass so that my shells can really ring out even though I put 15 cotton balls in each one of them. makes no sense. But yeah, I'm going to go split lugs, small lugs, low mass. I want no holes drilled on anything. I want a virgin bass drum. I want a virgin rack tom. I'm going to put the rack tom on a snare stand. I don't want holes anywhere.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Different to me, that. Different to me. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next tab, people. Now I am on the drums section of the Gretsch Drums website, which is wicked because, you know, I forget they do guitars. I forget they do other bits and bobs. So it took me about 12 years to find this one, but we landed. So we have got the 140th anniversary kit. We've got the Renown, the USA Custom, the Gretsch Broadcaster, and straight away, I'm a sucker for branding, mate. And that logo, the Broadcaster logo and the Gretsch in that style is screaming something. It's screaming something. So then we have the...
Dude, just so you guys know, we're only talking about the bass drum head. It's the same badge. It's the same everything, but I totally get you, man. I see that Gretsch logo and I'm like, well, that one's better.
That is something right there, mate. And then we have the Brooklyn, the Catalina Maple, Catalina Club, Energy and... snares. So, straight off the bat, the one that's sticking out to me that I think is kind of would suit what I play and suit the things I do on the kit would be the Renown, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Or not.
Yeah. Yes and no. The Renown I would say would be, yes, the most modern sounding kit. Right there. Okay. USA Custom would be another six ply shell with sharp bearing edges and give you like a very modern sound, mm-hmm. but a lot of finish options. Renown is almost like Tudor is to Rolex, like super high quality, but they can kind of try out some things with finishes and do some wacky stuff because it's not quite USA custom.
Enough said.
But
yeah.
Okay.
No, no way. So the other one is, I like the look of the Brooklyn, you know. I like the look of the Brooklyn. Here we go.
Brooklyn's a good call.
That logo is sticking out to me a bit more. As you can tell, people, I prioritize sound here.
So clearly.
I am going to go.
All right, so we're clicking on Brooklyn?
Let's do it. Let's do Brooklyn. Let's see what happens here when I click view more. I like the logo. I like the vibe of it. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm into it. So the sizes that I would do 22 by 14 kick drum.
Okay.
Then I would do 12 by 8 and then 16 by 16 with potentially an 18 by 18.
God, like if this was a meme, it would be like, say you're a man without saying you're a man.
Do you know what I mean?
Ordering an 18 inch floor tom is just so manly.
I just feel like I need an 18 inch floor tom for my drinks, you know, and for my phone.
That's what I use a side snare
so,
for.
You know, my phone and my drinks and my wallet and stuff, and my keys, at least I'll know where they're going to be, you know? So
love it.
Yeah. I think 12 by 8, 22 by 14. That is like my perfect size kick drum. That's what I currently play. And then, yeah, 16 by 16. I'll decide about the 18 by 18 at further down the line. But available colors.
Now, here's something. Brooklyn is the most limited in finishes. So from what I understand, Gretsch always wanted you to be able to know, oh, that's a Brooklyn by the finish. Like,
interesting.
So it used to come in even less finishes. Like I'm looking at it now and I'm like, wow, they really expanded the finishes to 8.
Yeah, there's literally, you get satin or nitron. And there's like, 6-7 things that finishes in there. Okay, all right. Okay. I think I'm going to go for the gray oyster. I think that's the one I'd have to go
for. Great call.
Yeah, I think it's like, I like a kit that can... you can pick up and play with a pop act or a rock act or, I don't know, a versatile color, I think. I think that's what I look for in a colorway. I don't want anything to clash with anything, if that makes sense. I say that. I used 100%. To play like a red and blue and pink tie-dye drum kit, but I think...
But you don't anymore because you learned your lesson.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It limits what shoe I can wear with the drum kit. And yet again, it all depends... I prioritize the sound here. So,
oh my God.
So yeah, I'm going to go Great Oyster and I'm going to use the Brooklyn series 12 by 8, okay. 16 by 16, 22 by 14. Definitely.
And maybe an 18. So just so everyone knows out there, big difference between Brooklyn and USA Custom. They are both 6-ply shells, but the Brooklyn is maple followed by 4 plies of poplar followed by another ply of maple. Where the USA Custom is maple, followed by 4 plies of gumwood, followed by another ply of maple. So it's basically poplar versus gum. Poplar is going to, just like Eddie said about like a versatile looking kit, the Brooklyn is the most versatile of the modern drum sets. A Broadcaster is, that's what my Blue Sparkle kit is. It's a very warm drum set. No, and it's not as versatile as a USA or a Brooklyn. So Brooklyn is going to be the most versatile sounding kit. And honestly, if I was trying to be versatile with Ludwig, I would have gone with the classic maple instead of the legacy maple.
Yeah.
But I wanted to lean kind of warm and a little more subdued. So I went legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, nice, man. All right, wicked. It's
all right,
so
you
funny.
Ready for snare drums?
What's that? We're basically making the kits we have now with a different logo on
yes.
the top.
That's okay. All it is. Okay. That is literally all it is. until we get to snare drums. So I am on Ludwig's snare drum page. So we've got bronze phonic, universal metal, universal wood. So universal is kind of, I wouldn't say it's their budget line. It's budget friendly line. These are still really high-end snares, but not quite as expensive as the Keystone badge snares like Bronze Phonic, Black Beauty, Super Phonic. We've got the Super Series. Wow, they update this a lot. That says new for 2019. Sorry, Ludwig. Gretsch embedded YouTube videos on the homepage, so I will dog their website out later. But just a new for 2019, we could take that down.
Brilliant.
Copper phonic, chrome over brass, raw brass phonic. I think that's what you play. Yeah?
Yep. That is it.
Okay. I think so. Yeah. Raw brass.
Raw brass, that's the one.
We've got hammered brass, acrylite, which is such a legendary thing, the legacy maple, classic maple. And then we have a few signature things, super light, and the Nate Smith signature snare. The Nate Smith at the very bottom, that one kind of drew me in. That's a good looking snare.
Yep.
I would say sound wise, it's probably fairly similar to the snare I play for Gretsch. And the only difference is it has die cast hoops, but it has tube lugs. It's a maple drum. It's got 45 degree bearing edges. So yeah, that one kind of drew me in, but...
I mean, you're spoiled for choice here, man. You are spoiled for choice.
I will say it right now. Ludwig, you win for snares. You just do. And first of all, no way in HE double hockey sticks am I playing a Black Beauty. It's too obviously perfect. It's too good.
Yeah.
Every time you hit it, it's like, oh man, I love how you trigger your snare. It's like, no, that's actually what it sounds like. That's not triggered.
Yep.
It just sounds that good. So It's just the contrarian in me that says, like, I'm sorry. I can't. It's too obvious. So I've always been a sucker for bronze snares. I think it's a very musical metal. Obviously, it's what they make cymbals out of. So I'm going 14x5 bronze phonic. But the raw bronze that looks like a rainbow.
Yeah, they're stunning looking drums, mate. Oh my God.
That, now I have two options. I can go with tube lugs or imperial lugs. Imperial lugs are touching the shell all the way down. I'm going to go with the tube lugs, less mass on the shell. I couldn't care less about the less mass thing. I'm going to put some gaff tape on this anyways. I just love the look of tube lugs. That being said, for some weird reason, if I was touring with, the old band, I'd probably go imperial lugs just because they look a little bit more sturdy. Mm-hmm. Tube lugs kind of scare me when I'm going to be hitting the snot out of this thing. So yeah, I'm going 14x5 raw bronze with tube lugs.
Whoa. You weren't tempted to do the 14x6.5, no?
Dude, I don't know what it is, but I can't. I feel like I'm giving birth. Every time I understand it's the same dimensions. It's not my legs are spread out wider, but yeah. It's just like that. But keep in mind, I'm making this kit for myself, not for me in Simon Says. If it was Simon Says, 100% it'd be 6.5.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, for me, 14x5, I'm happy with that. I'm going to work my way up the Ludwig roster. I'm going to buy this kit. Then I'm going to talk to Jamie a lot. I'm going to talk to the US rep. Who's the US rep?
Uli.
Uli. I'm going to talk to Uli. I'm going to schmooze. And I'm going to get to that point that I'm like, look, I don't need a signature snare. I just need you to make the bronze in 14x5.5. That extra half inch.
Ooh, whew, yeah.
Double strokes on fire.
I got you.
Okay. Got you. It's your turn. Go buy a snare drum, buddy.
Okay, cool. Right. So I've landed on the snare drum page. I've got USA snares or full range series snares. So which one is...
Stay your ass away from the full range.
Okay, what is that about? Is that their cheaper line?
It would be like, yeah, budget friendly. They are actually really good. Budget friendly, but made overseas, not made in the US factory.
Ooh, straight away, mate. I've been hit with the Ash Sohn Signature 12.
That's a solid drum.
By 7. That is cheeky. Mm-hmm. That is very cheeky. And then we go down to the Vinnie.
You know it's a 12, right? 12 by 7.
Yeah, 12x7. That's crazy.
King. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds delicious though, doesn't it? Vinny Caliuta. I didn't know he had his own snare, mate. I thought you'd have that. No?
I would if it wasn't blue with a square back. Dude, I love Vinny, but I'm sorry. Like, that snare looks a little generic to me. There's nothing generic about his playing. There's nothing generic about Vinny himself, but no. That snare does not appeal to me.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. Then I move down and we've got the Gergo
Borlai.
Yep. He's a demon. Mm-hmm. Keith Carlock. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now. Now we're seeing some stuff. Okay, we've got the bronze. We've got the hammered chrome over brass. That looks good. I bet that sounds incredible. I bet it's heavy as well, no? Solid aluminium, chrome over brass, solid steel, which is probably the Black Beauty of them, or no? Or
no, so a Black Beauty would be nickel over brass.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Because of that, what's called Gretsch actually stays away from nickel over brass.
Ooh, a Bell Brass.
Oh yeah, now that's a big one. That's a tank, dude. That 6.5 by 14 Bell Brass will change your eardrums.
Have you got that one at your studio?
I don't. Oh, I haven't. I just haven't had the guts to ask for it because it's what I would use in Simon Says for sure. I'm actually using the Keith Carlock snare in Simon Says, uh-huh. But if I was going back out on the road, it would be the Bell Brass.
Okay, cool. And then we come down to the Brooklyn Standard.
Look Watch yourself.
Look at that. Beautiful, beautiful.
Now, how do you like that branding?
Yeah.
It's not with the signature snares.
I know. That's a genius move there. That is a genius move. And then the video underneath it is you, Mark, and Indrizzo?
Victor Indrizzo from Alanis Morissette.
Mate, flip in. Okay. All right. Here we go. And then, God, there's a lot of snares, mate. Straight satin snare. Brooklyn chrome over brass. Then there's a Brooklyn hammered chrome over brass. Okay. All right. I think it's too obvious for me to pick the, what was it? The Bell Brass. I think that's...
Okay.
I think the snare drum that's sticking out to me, I think I'm going to go for the hammered chrome over brass.
Oh. That's the 6.5?
The 14 by 6.5, yeah. Or, yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. Oh. Bit of a game changer. Here we go. 13 by 6. That is the one I'm going for. Hammered chrome over brass, 13 by 6.
Whoa.
Niche.
Whoa. Niche. I was not ready for that. I don't even, I'm like scrolling. Okay.
There's a lot of snare drums. There's a lot, and they've done it.
It is.
To be fair, bravo to Gretsch because they make you scroll through all of them. To get to like totally. The one you want. So it's like, well, geez Louise. But yeah, I think I'm going to go for that. The 13 by 6. I do love
die cast hoops.
Yep.
Okay. Now here's the difference between those two. Like when you said first, the 14 by 6.5, were you looking at the bottom or are you looking in the middle where they're right above the phosphor bronze?
Yeah. The middle. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cause at the bottom there's one and that's a Brooklyn shell. So that has different hoops. This is the USA custom line. So this is going to be their highest quality shell. You're getting die cast hoops. And I wonder if they'll show it. No, they don't show it. One thing a lot of people don't know is that so a lot of Gretsch drums, especially in the USA custom line, do you know what a porthole is? Like little air vent?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Gretsch's porthole is designed with a little spring in it and you can actually put the Gretsch drum key in that. Oh. So the drum key stays inside the shell and then you just pull it out whenever you need it.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now the other one that I would love you to look at.
Okay.
Scroll down a little bit to black copper.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So the only reason I'm bringing it up is you see the badge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not a badge. That's the copper underneath the black powder coating. That's the actual drum.
That's nice. That is, yeah that is a nice touch right there. I did, because it is quite, it's a color. You know what I mean? It is a...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I say that, I've got a bright pink acrylic snare drum behind me.
You're fine, dude. But dude, I love the idea of, okay, so just to recap, I have purchased a Ludwig Legacy Maple drum set. I've got it in 2012, 2014, and 2016. As far as finish, I ended up choosing the, I can't remember what it was called, clicking on it now. There it is, the Vintage Blue Oyster.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that Vintage Blue Oyster, I've got the most colorful snare drum on the planet, which is their raw bronze, 14 by 5. And you've got?
I've got the Brooklyn, the series, it's the logo as well, mate. It's so good. And then I picked it up in the Grey Oyster, and I've got 12 by 8, 16 by 16, 24 by 14 and maybe an 18 by 18, depending on how many things I have in my pockets at the time. And then the snare drum that I have got is the hammered, the name has gone, but the
chrome over brass.
Exactly that. And I'm going 13 by 6. I used to love, a 13 inch snare drum. The combination of a 15 inch pair of hats and a 13 inch snare drum for me, it was so good, mate. Yeah, loved it.
That was fun. I got to say, I think we should have the patrons send in some voice notes about, keep it under a minute and 30 seconds, but what would they pick on either the Gretsch or the Ludwig website? Like, what kit would they build if there was an unlimited budget?
Mate,
I think that'd be really fun.
There's so many options, mate. It's crazy, man.
It's tough.
Now I get it when like people were in drum shops for like 3 hours, A being between like three different kits and whatnot, because it's a tough one, man. I kind of, for me, bit of a random point, but ignorance is bliss for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, the more naive I am to what's out there, the better. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to pick.
It'd be impossible. I mean, and it does come down to like, when I was deciding on the new Blue Sparkle kit, it was like, well, should I go Broadcaster? Because they make Blue Sparkle and Broadcaster, USA Custom, and I could have gotten done in a Brooklyn. And it was... I hate to say it, but a lot of it was the bass drum head. I was like, I like the logo on the bass drum head. Three ply shells. What does it matter? Like I said, I'm going to put cotton balls in the toms. I'm playing coated top and bottom. I'm not going to hear a huge difference. Every time I play the white kit, everyone says, oh, USA Custom. And I'm like, or two ply clear heads, you mean? Like, that's why it sounds that way and the way I tuned it.
Yeah.
Like the shells sound any different. I could do that with the blue kit. I could do that with any kit. So I think that the toughest thing for me is picking the finish.
I know.
That's what would paralyze me.
That's why it was so easy for me with the Vista Light. I'm like, cool. Straight clear. It's there's no color whatsoever.
Yeah.
It is just straight clear. So you wouldn't have ever picked the Vista Light?
Never. I bet Stan Bicknell's loving this moment where we're actually disagreeing.
That is the most, that is so, so good. So how come? Do you not like playing them the way they look?
No, it'd be the looks and the sound and the feel.
Oh, that is so, so good. Yeah.
No, but I mean, if I was touring, it would probably actually move to the top of the list because of the looks. The feel is going to change no matter what kit you play. Every single night, every room, the feel of the kit's going to change. So, but I'm telling you right now, I'm choosing Legacy Maple over Classic Maple because the feel of the toms with a 30 degree bearing edge is totally different than the feel of the toms with 45 degree bearing edges. So if you have a sharper bearing edge, it just feels a little bit different. The rebound with 30 degree bearing edges, it's just almost like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like springier. It's a little fluffier. I enjoy it more. In my personal opinion, the 30 degree bearing edges and the three ply shells seem to enjoy a higher tuning a little bit better. And they're good at low as well, dead and thuddy. They're not great at the mid range, where I feel like a maple shell gives, or I'm sorry, a 45 degree bearing edge maple shell gives you you can kind of do anything with it. It is the most versatile thing you're going to find. So
yeah.
45 degree, if anybody wants to like make it simple, if you're playing a lot of notes and you need a lot of clarity in those notes, go with 45 degree bearing edges. You're going to get more clarity out of that. Also go with clear heads, more clarity, more click. If you're not playing as many notes and you want just like kind of a warmer sound, a more almost a vintage sound, then go with the 30 degree bearing edges and you're going to be golden.
There we go, mate. There we go. Some top advice. And then if you I don't know what really, but if you just want to look like you can't see the drums, then get a Vista Light. Do you know what I mean?
Then get a Vista Light. You're set, man.
Exactly.
I mean, I haven't had a chance to play your kit yet. I only played, what did I play? Did I play one of your old Tama kits or did I play the classic Maple?
Yeah, no, you played the old Tama kit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't played any of the Ludwig stuff. All I know is every time I play a Ludwig, if I'm at a shop, one of the more modern ones, like a classic Maple or a legacy Maple, I always just think like, damn, like they're incredible, man. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed shopping with us. And then we would both, I'm assuming, get a bunch of 9000 series DW hardware.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Done.
Unlimited budget. Sorry, Gretsch. I'm sure it's a great hi-hat stand. I'm going to go with a no. And appreciate you, but I'll be over here on DW's website ordering my hardware. So
DW, oh man, is DW hardware is the perfect example of buy cheap, buy twice. You know what I mean? You just
totally
buy a DW stand, you're set for life. That's it. Done.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. I'm actually I have a bunch of lightweight hardware on the stage, and even my singer was like, do you still own double braced hardware? And I was like, yes, we'll be fine for the show. I have a whole set of it. It weighs 1,000 pounds. Yeah. I have all of it. It's crazy. I have to think about things like, oh yeah, I should probably get a kick patch for this show because I play a single ply bass drum head, and I should probably swap out my felt beater that's whittled down to the pole mm-hmm. and go with a plastic beater. And it's very weird to be in this mindset right now.
I've got a question that I think a lot of listeners will have in their heads as well. Are you going to record any of it for anything?
It's a good question. I don't know, man. I mean, we're old, bro. We're old. I don't know that anyone needs to see this.
I think people would love to see you in that context. I think a little drum cam performance would be wicked.
You know what? Okay, I've got a GoPro. Maybe I will.
Yeah. Wicked.
Yeah, because I obviously don't want to be tasked with the whole I'm trying to be a social media guy while also playing a show that has a lot of, there's no nervousness, but there's a lot of weight to it as far as this is our first show in 20 years. We broke up in a very bad way. We're all friends again. I want to make sure that, like, you know, if I hear a wrong note, I have to really train myself to not immediately look up at the person that did it,
yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
I
want this to be a celebration and just be fun. And it's not going to be that if I'm running around with like a rig on my shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a drum cam is probably the easiest way to do it. I have a GoPro, so I'll throw that up there. I'm also trying to, and we should talk about this in the future, make a whole episode of it, but especially with what you have going on with Busted and then Charlie with, Fight Star? What's it called?
Yeah. Fight Star. Yeah.
Fight Star. With that stuff, like I'm trying to talk, cause I have, the drummer from a band called Far is going to be doing a lot of the shows that are travel dates cause they're happening during my drum camp season. I can't actually do them. So he's going to cover me for that. And I'm trying to very subtly convince the band, because if the band wants to do something, they should do it. This is not my dream. Mm-hmm. My dream is currently happening with education. But so I'm just trying to be as supportive as possible. But, you know, the more that they say yes to these shows that require like a trailer and a van, and, you know, if you get offered a show for you, let's say in Scotland, well, you have to get there. So, or even let's say something further like Norway, it's like, well, we can't just go to Norway. No one's going to pay for that. So we have to, and I'm talking LTA, not Busted.
Yeah.
You would have to do club dates to get to Norway so you can afford to go to Norway and then get back home and club. And I'm like, look, we're kind of old, guys. If you guys don't want to do that stuff, we can do much more by staying home and letting me film stuff and put music out and record stuff.
Like, yeah.
We don't need to go to these small local places anymore. We could just put out a single every 4 to 6 weeks. We have the ability to track all of this stuff ourselves. We'll pay to get it mixed and mastered, obviously. I can do the social media. The only reason I don't want to do all that stuff is I don't want to, that social media has to have a direction.
Yeah, of course.
So I need to know, like, what am I doing this for? Mm-hmm. So that's like the tough thing. Like, you know, the band comes in, they're like, all right, so like they got offered a show with, or they're playing a show with Stone Temple Pilots and I think maybe Chevelle and, you know, a few. And I was like, guys, have a blast. Chris will do that one. And they're like, no, but you don't have a camp. I'm like, no, I just scheduled one. I don't want to do that. Like, I have no desire to do that. Like, that does not appeal to me. Even if it was with Korn and, you know, or modern bands, it's like, no, I that's not my dream. I'm doing my dream.
Yeah.
My dream for the band is to hang out with these guys and have fun and laugh and, you know, they got me to drink hop water.
What's that?
So they take, it's for people that are trying to quit drinking, I think. It's basically sparkling water infused with the hops of beer, but no alcohol. But it's not like, it doesn't taste like beer. It just tastes like sparkling water. Except at the end, you're like, oh, what's that? And it's like, oh, those are hops. And they know I'm straight edge because we started as a straight edge band. And they're like, dude, it's alcohol free. It's just the taste of beer. And I was like, okay, gave it a shot. Tasted like buttered ass, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. We got through it. But I'll do it for the lads. Do it for the lads.
That sounds horrific.
Dude, I was like, I think I'm going to go back to my blueberry pomegranate sparkling water, if you don't mind. But anyways, man. So we should talk about like a modern band in 2024. Do you need to be out pounding the pavement, mate, playing all the small clubs, or can you just do it from home?
Mate.
So
literally exactly my thinking. A lot of people who come here for lessons and whatnot always say that. They're like, what would you do now if you started a band? And honestly, the first thing I say is I have no idea, because it changes from day to day. And also, you know, it depends on so many things. But I would probably do enough shows to warrant and to have a reason to do all the other stuff. And all the other stuff, Patreon videos, playthroughs, song breakdowns, all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Merch, totally. Like vlogs, like Q&As, all that kind of stuff. That's how I would do it.
That's, I talked to the guys about like, hey, if we had a Sacramento venue and then one that's about 2 hours away, and we did each one of those in rotation every 6 weeks, that's more than enough. Like, but like I said, we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted. For now, we've got a show in Sac. We've got the show at the Whiskey a Go Go. I'll be doing both of those. I think Scotty Johnson might be flying out to the old Whiskey in LA.
Scotty Johnson.
Should be fun. Come on.
Sick.
Everybody, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope this satisfied your hunger for new gear. Just know that, just like you, Eddie and I scroll through Reverb and we look at kits and we look at snares and we question, oh, but if I had the turbo versus the accelerator, like that stuff is super healthy as long as it doesn't bankrupt your family. And then you're good to go. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Once again, if you want to become part of the Practice Project or just support the podcast, we'd really appreciate it. And if you can't afford to support this podcast, we fully understand that. Just screenshot the fact that you listened to it, put it in your stories, tag us in it. You have no idea how much fuel that is for both Eddie and myself.
Yep.
It makes us so excited to see that stuff.
Exactly, mate. So anyway, I better get practicing and upload it, mate. Here we go.
Come on,
Between the hand and feet.
Bruh.
Crossover bar.
I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I want to do it, mate. Travis Barker makes it look like a walk in the park. Do you know what I mean?
And dude, he is a flexible cat.
He is super flexible, mate. I didn't realize how flexible you had to be to pull that off. Jeez Louise.
You're also 6'11", so it's a little different.
That's true.
You're a tall lad. All right, Eddie. Eddie's going to sign us off. He's going to send us out of here. Let's see how he does it.
Okay, all right, people. I'm going to go practice the singles between my hand and my feet. Mikey Boy is going to do
some fives, some four on the snare, one on the kick.
You lost me at fives. We'll see you inside the Patreon. Thanks for listening. Like, share, do all that cool stuff, and we'll see you next week, people. Ciao, ciao.
Boom!
There we go.
My man! Hot dog on a stick. Oh my gosh. What is the deal with the Brits and not being able to say urinal? I just heard it on a podcast. Somebody said urinal.
Urinal.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. We say urinal.
No.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I said that word. Yeah. We say.